Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and in those days cometh John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is written, for this is that which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. It is written, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? It is written, lo, a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
God is just a prayer away.
But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, ye offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. There's a beauty in the cross of Christ, seen through repentant tears, that will help us see the glory that will last down through the years. For there are marks of teardrops all along where all the saints have trod. For teardrops mingled with their prayers have brought them close to God. And the soul is made pure by suffering, as unto God it cries. Our vision is much clearer when there are teardrops in our eyes. And when we get to heaven, I wouldn't be surprised to find the jewels in our crowns are teardrops crystallized.
For God is just a prayer away.
ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Matthew chapter 3, entitled, The Preacher. In those days cometh John the Baptist, preaching. Jesus said of John that he was the greatest, and he was speaking of him as a preacher. So John, according to Jesus, was the greatest preacher who ever lived up to that time. Perhaps to find out why Jesus said he was great, we need to examine some of John's preaching. John was known as a voice crying in the wilderness. John's ministry did not begin in the synagogue or in the temple. It began in a strange place in the wilderness. Today we have changed God's plan of preaching. Jesus said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and we say, Come ye into the church house and hear our preacher preach the gospel. Jesus said, Go ye, and we say, Come ye. Now who would go out into the wilderness to hear the message of God? Everybody. Then went out unto him all Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan. Someone has written, When you build a better mousetrap, build a better house, preach a better sermon, write a better book, the world will beat a path to your door even though you build your house in the wilderness. So if we pattern our preaching today after John, the greatest of preachers, we will no doubt have the same reputation as John had, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. One of the areas of John's preaching was the area of repentance. He said, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if I had lived at that time and had been in charge of John's itinerary, the last place in the world I would have booked him would have been in the wilderness of Judea. I would have told John that if he was going to preach on repentance, you don't need to do it here. This is the holiest place in the world. The high priest holds up in Jerusalem. The temple is there. There are more synagogues in this area than anywhere else in the world. No one plays the ponies. There are no slot machines. No X-rated movies. There are no drug pushers. There are no porno shops. On Friday night, they roll in the sidewalks early and everybody is in services all day long. On Saturday, there is more holiness per square foot, per square yard, per square heart than any place in the world. I would have told him, John, if you want to preach on repentance, go to Rome, go to Corinth, go to Ephesus, go to one of the sin cities of the world. Don't preach it here. We don't need it. We are holy. However, I seem to remember reading a verse where it says, There came a man sent from God whose name was John. You see, the reason John came to Judea with the message of repentance was because Almighty God sent him there. I take my cue from this and say that the message of repentance today is needed to be preached in the holiest place of all, namely the meeting places of the New Testament church. Our message needs to be, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When John was imprisoned, Jesus began his ministry with the same message, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke tells us that the Lord said later on, Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And when he said that, he not only said it once, he said it twice in three verses. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus repeated it twice in three verses. In the book of Acts, Peter told those who heard the gospel to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And then in the next chapter, he told a similar audience to repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. One man in the church at Samaria believed and was baptized and offered Peter and John money if they would lay their hands on him and give him the power to work miracles. Peter told him to repent, therefore, of this, thy wickedness, and pray the Lord if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. This man needed to pray for forgiveness for his evil thoughts. Evil thoughts is such a private sin that most of us don't think it needs to be forgiven because nobody knows that we're doing it. No one sees us doing it. No one, that is, but God. It is more serious than what it may seem to be. Jesus said, out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, fornications, thefts, false witness. These are the things that defile the man, and it all starts in the heart. Then Peter, in his second epistle, gives this word of warning. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but long-suffering to you, that not what willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John's message was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is the church of Christ, and it was established on the day of Pentecost. Paul identifies the church in Colossians as the people who have been translated from darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The church is not an earthly kingdom. The church originated from heaven, but it must be remembered that there is a sense that it is yet to come. The kingdom is yet to come, because after the first missionary tour, Paul and Barnabas told the new converts who were already in the kingdom that with many tribulations they would enter into the kingdom of God. In that sense, the eternal phase of the kingdom will appear when the Lord comes again and takes us to heaven. So the cry is needed today as it was then, as we look for the Lord's return. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John used a rock'em sock'em approach. He said, ye offspring of vipers. A very appropriate thing to call them when you consider that the devil is the old serpent. He was calling them the sons of the devil, even as Jesus would later on say when he said, ye are of your father the devil. Remember, this term was not used on alien sinners. Both Jesus and John used scathing language on the hypocrites. A hypocrite is one who pretends to be something that he is not. The church needs that message today. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember, when John preached this message on repentance, Jesus said, that's great preaching. If preachers preach like John today, they too will be regarded as a voice crying in the wilderness. Another area where John had something to say was in the area of hellfire. Listen to him as he says, his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. John stressed hellfire, and Jesus said, that's great preaching. Will he not say the same if we warn people today? Jesus said that hell was an unquenchable fire that burned where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. One of the devices of the devil is to convince people that we are too sophisticated to believe in hell. Hell is a polite curse word today. Hell is a place where some people tell their friends to go. Hell is too lightly regarded by many. I heard one man tell another one time as he drove by. He called to him in a friendly way, go to hell, will you? The other fellow replied as he whizzed by, save room for me. One time on a television roast, a celebrity was told that he was going to hell. Everybody in the audience laughed. He was told that when he got there, they would put him on a spit, and they would turn him around and around and roast him on all sides. everybody laughed again. Then he was told that in hell there would not be even so much as one bottle of beer to cool him off. And that really brought the house down. Ladies and gentlemen, the day will come when it will not seem nearly as funny. Many would agree with what one unbeliever said. The preaching of hell puts the beak of a vulture on the dove of the Holy Spirit and the fangs of a snake into the mouth of the Lamb of God. However, it needs to be remembered that we still live in a first century world. We eat first century food. We drink first century water. We worship a first century Jesus. We belong to a first century church. I intend to go to a first century heaven. And when I read in the first century Bible of a first century hell, I don't know what to do with it, but to remind people, there it is. I do not enjoy preaching about hell any more than you enjoy hearing about it. And neither did Jesus. Jesus hated it so much that he was willing to die on the cross and suffer the torment of hell for us. He came to save us. If there is no hell, what is there to be saved from? John knew this and preached about it. His question to the Pharisees and Sadducees is a good question today. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Put that question to any group of people today, either in or out of the church. Ask them, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And the answer comes through loud and clear, nobody. Our preacher never told us to flee from the wrath to come. We were never told that there was any wrath to flee from. You ask who told us to flee from the wrath to come? Nobody. We were told, since God loves us, there is no punishment after death for the unforgiven. And then John made this graphic statement to that audience of hypocrites. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. We can phrase that statement this way. Think not to say within yourselves, my name is on the roll book of the church and I've got it made. Think not to say within yourselves, I attend services most of the time and have earned the right to be saved. Think not to say within yourselves that we can come into the church and bring our sins with us. Think not to say within yourselves that we can grow in the grace of God by being able to quote the records set by sports stars on yards rushing and home runs, and have no idea where to find the scriptures to show anyone the way to heaven. Jesus said that John was the greatest. If that is what Jesus called great preaching, we had better get with it, rest assured. If our preachers today preach very many sermons on hell, they will be regarded in the same light as John. However, the preacher can take comfort in knowing that although he is a voice crying in the wilderness, the Lord is saying of him, that is great preaching. Another area where John had much to say was in the area of baptism. We are told that all Jerusalem and Judea went out to be baptized of John in the River Jordan. In John, it is pointed out that John was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem because there was much water there. John moved his pulpit as close to the water as he could get it. He got so close that when the time came for people to make a decision, they were close enough to get into the water without delay. In a manner of speaking, many today get as far from the water as they possibly can. Many preachers believe that it is necessary for the remission of sins, but that belief does not play a prominent part in the proclamation of the word. Many keep a low profile on the plan of salvation. John told the Lord he was unworthy to baptize Jesus. That feeling of unworthiness should always be with us. When Peter saw the great multitude of fishes, he caught at the command of Jesus. He fell down before him and said, Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. When Jesus told a centurion he would come to his house, the centurion said, I'm not worthy. Thou shalt come under my roof. The gospel song says, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? The word worm has been changed in some song books to read, such a one as I. One woman one time told me, sir, I am no worm. I am a son of God. Well, that may be, but we need to remember and be humble enough to remember that the prediction of the death of Jesus on the cross in Psalms 22 has Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then this statement by the Lord, I am a worm and no man. If Jesus considered himself a worm when he died on the cross for me, who am I to strut around saying, I am no worm, even though by the grace of God I am a son of God? Now, a curious thing about the baptism of John is that Jesus was one of the people that John baptized. You see, when Jesus was baptized, he was numbered with the transgressors. When he was crucified on the cross, he was numbered with the transgressors. When he arose from the dead, he was numbered with the transgressors because he tasted of death once for every man. He was numbered with the transgressors when he was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. Jesus was numbered with the transgressors so that we who obey his commands may be numbered with the saints in the Lamb's Book of Life on the day of judgment. When we come to Christ for salvation, believing him as the crucified Son of God raised up from the dead and that he is able to save us from all sin, when we are buried with him in the waters of baptism and contact his blood, rising to walk in a newness of life, we can be assured that we will be numbered among those who are sinless on that day of judgment. Remember, the inspired writer tells us when Jesus was baptized, he came up straightway out of the water, and the heaven was opened unto him, and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The heaven was opened unto him. Ladies and gentlemen, is that not true for us today? At the moment that we follow him in obedience, heaven is opened unto us. Some today reject God's plan of salvation and use what one preacher wrote and told me. They use the popular one-liner plan of salvation. One-liner is a popular phrase today in television. Well, there's a one-liner plan of salvation. Here's a sample of the one-liner plan of salvation. Lord, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. Here's another popular one-liner plan. By grace are ye saved through faith. Another one-liner plan. As many as received him gave he the right to become sons of God. The popular one-line plan does not tell the whole story. This is only a sample of the preaching of John that we have here in Matthew 3. But it gives us some idea of what a kind of a preacher he was. Remember, Jesus said of him, there hath not arisen a greater than John. A preacher who preaches like John will share the same reputation and be a voice crying in the wilderness. But God will say, that is great preaching. One more thing in conclusion about the preaching of John, and that is that Jesus said, he that is but least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Any preacher today is a greater preacher than John if he is true to the word of God. No matter how young, no matter how inexperienced, no matter how little in talent, if he preaches the word, he is a greater preacher than John. He is greater preacher than John because, not because of talent or practice or learning, but because he has a greater message. John could never tell anyone what Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. John baptized no one into anybody's name. John knew nothing about the second coming. If he did, he never mentioned it. There was so much that John could never preach, but we can preach today. And if we are faithful in the proclamation of that word, Jesus will say of us, even as he said of his forerunner, that is great preaching. And now, ladies and gentlemen, remember that John was the forerunner of Jesus. He went before him to prepare the way. But John was not the only forerunner. Jesus needed a forerunner, but we can be forerunners too. We are the forerunners of the Lord today. Jesus does not preach to the people himself, but he sends us to go before him and tell the people, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is our responsibility to prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. It is our duty to proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be a forerunner for Jesus, like John, and prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. But then remember also, we also have a forerunner for ourselves. Remember what the Word of God says about our forerunner in Hebrews 5? Jesus ascended into heaven as a forerunner for us. Jesus is a forerunner. He is our forerunner. And that means, since Jesus went to heaven as my forerunner, that I will soon follow after. Ladies and gentlemen, think about our forerunner. Our forerunner has gone to heaven, and we as Christians will soon follow. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.